Derek, how are things in San Francisco?
Actually, man, I'm in Palo Alto.
Ah, dagnabbit!
In Frisco. Told
no,
you.
No, I'm kidding. I'm in San Francisco.
You're going to meet a team that in Milwaukee lost a heartbreaking, very important game in a stunning fashion with Keon Broxton's catch at the wall, and also found out that they're without Mike Leake, who's been traded to the Mariners. What do you make of how this team is sorting through this right now? It sounded like the guys in the clubhouse that Rick Hummel talked to in Milwaukee were not real thrilled with the trade that freed up a spot for Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think contenders don't trade starters like Leake. So sort of a mixed message to the clubhouse. Hey, go out and compete. Oh, and by the way, we're going to take some innings away from you. So, major league players like known quantities. They view things a little differently than front offices, which sometimes bet on upside and, look at value and stuff. Clubhouses tend to value experience and guys who have been there and past performances. It's just how the players are wired. Even when they become free agents, they want to be paid for past performance. So that means a lot to them. And what they saw was a guy walking out the door who, while he's had his struggles, also had a sub-2 ERA, at one point this season, and is a quality start fiend when he is on his best. What they see walking in is unproven. So, I think it definitely is a clubhouse, unsure what should be expected of it. And then that just adds to a year where the front office has used moves to upset the roster quite a bit, has yet to use a move to add to it.
Derek, is this minor league shortstop they got, is this a legitimate prospect or just a guy that they sent to the Cardinals so they didn't have to say, well, we got nothing in return for Mike Leake?
Boy, is there a middle point there, Doug? Or
I don't know. Fish? I don't know.
Oh.
I'm asking you.
I don't think it's those extremes. I think it's a good fielder who, pretty similar to infielders that the infielder that the Cardinals got a few years ago from Mark Szczepanski, a guy with a good glove, can play shortstop and see what happens. A guy who can play shortstop can move around, and maybe that's how he advances. We'll see, but not a prospect that's going to, not like an O'Neill, who, could be one of the Cardinals' top 10 prospects, next year. But, he isn't that type of prospect.
So the Cardinals ship $700,000 in international cap space and also about $17 million to move Leake. Did those obviously, if you're going to get rid of Leake, I think the reason that a lot of people this move kind of came as a bit of a surprise was because nobody really thought there'd be a team out there that wanted Leake at this point the way he had pitched. But you knew that if they were going to get rid of him, they would have to get rid of some money. Did the numbers surprise you? Did that seem about right for a team looking to offload that contract?
It's a good question because I don't really know how to map the precedent, for how much it takes to have somebody else swallow a contract, because it really is different from team to team. There are teams that will take on whole contracts, to give up less. There are teams that want full coverage of teams. I think it's interesting that in this case, the Cardinals definitely had to act like the bigger market team, sort of the higher revenue team to the Mariners. And, all things being equal, I don't think people are saying, oh, well, St. Louis is a bigger town or a bigger city or has a bigger market than Seattle. But here they were the team that had to act like the larger team. But there's also a tacit admission here. This kind of ties in with Doug's question about the player that they got in return is, the player that they got in return, there's no calculus that is going to say that's a $17.75 million value play. That's not how this works. So you can tell by how, quote unquote data driven, which is what the Cardinals call themselves, how data driven they are with their decisions, how, they were willing to pay to get out from under the Leake thing because they think they can get better value either in the marketplace or from their internal options elsewhere.
Do you think they would have gone ahead and made that trade if they hadn't got that minor league shortstop in return?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have made it even if they didn't get the player. I think.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a difficult deal to do, but yeah. I mean, this deal wasn't about the minor league shortstop.
No.
That guy's not showing up.
No.
It was about getting Leak.
Right.
Yeah, we are
moving Leak.
How will you kind of?
I mean, I hope for your sake that you're buying your kid a jersey for the minor league shortstop.
I'm not going to hold on that.
That he turns out to be the star that. Yeah, I mean, but it wasn't about him.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't buy a major league jersey with a guy.
You can't find a Lance Lynn jersey.
Traded. Yeah,
that's for sure.
Can't find a Lance Lynn jersey. They can't even get his number right on the scoreboard.
Brutal. So how will you kind of? And we'll get to Lynn in a second because I want to ask you about his comments to commission in Milwaukee, but. How will you kind of define the Leak experiment here? Because when they brought him in, he was, you know, the fill-in for an injured Lance Lynn. And a lot last year, I think this isn't going to be a well-received take right now because everybody's making Mike Leak sound like a total bum, and he certainly was bad after his great start to this year. But last year he was impacted by a severely flawed defense. He had that bout with shingles that really kind of threw him off for the rest of the year. Something that he may or may not have battled this season. The fallout from that still depending on who you believe. But how do you kind of make the Leak era here or lack that was, and the fact that they moved on from him so quickly, and what is the fallout if any from that? The fact that they just said, look, this isn't working. You usually don't see the Cardinals make moves like this. They're more patient. They tend to be.
Yeah, no, this is the first. I mean, you know, you have to go all the way back to 2003, where they paid $7 million for the Tampa Bay Rays to take on Tino Martinez. And I think that's what this mostly compares to. Not to say that Mike Leak was as irascible or as difficult to deal with as Tino Martinez was. You know, he certainly was, and Tino Martinez was. I mean, Doug, I think, was around, right, with Tino Martinez?
Yeah, sure.
You could say that he was relentlessly unhappy.
He was never thrilled to be here, I don't believe.
Yeah. He would talk about the Yankees, miss the Yankees, always want to be the Yankees, and he just had no place with the Cardinals. I think that's where this compares. Leak right from the start kind of saw what an awkward fit he was. I mean, he talked about it like in one of my first interviews with him that he was trying to, I think how he put it was he was trying to find his place in a clubhouse, you know, that didn't exactly always feel right to him. And he said sometimes a player either has to change or things have to change around him. And I thought that was pretty interesting for a guy in his first spring training to say. He was a pitcher who had his own kind of approach and his own kind of feel for things and his own kind of between work, program or between start program. And, you know, there were times where it didn't quite sync with some of the more, say, business-like approach with the Cardinals, but with the results did, then they don't mind. It's sort of the lesson that Lance Lynn learned, and, you know, Chris Carpenter had to tell him was, look, you can be whoever you want on the mound or between starts or whatever. You can be as sarcastic as you want and everything. Success forgives everything. You don't have success, though, then they start looking for reasons why you're not having success. Is it because you're not throwing between starts? Is it because you don't lift? Is it your nutrition? Is it your lack of starts? Is it your affect? You know, is it all these things? And then you have to deal with that. And if you go, no, I'm just not having success. This is who I am. You know, the Cardinals aren't alone in this. Every team will go like, well, yeah, no, but there's got to be a reason, so let's find it. And if they're overbearing, that can rub guys the wrong way. I think Leak was, in a lot of ways, a great fit on the mound for the Cardinals. He's the type of pitcher who 10 years ago would have flourished with the Cardinals, but just this time around just didn't quite work. So in a way, he was sort of an anachronism. He was a pitcher who would have been great for this team, like I said, 10 years ago. Sinker ball guy, I mean, he would have just flourished, but not now.
when you you mentioned Lance and how he kind of walks to the beat of his own drum, and he even made those comments after the trade of kind of like Leak was a guy that we saw things eye to eye. We were a little different in here, kind of implying that they stick out a little bit and they don't always go with the grain in terms of that clubhouse. And he sounds like he's going to miss him. But also a lot of people were going, this immediately means the Cardinals are working on a deal for Lance Lynn. And this is a sign that they're going to give Lynn, you know, that they're going to secure him to a new contract before he hits free agency. It doesn't sound like that's been the case, according to Lynn, basically making it clear that he's had no discussions with the Cardinals, that they have not reached out to him. Basically, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth. His words were candid enough, but that kind of like he expects to hear from him the same time he expects to hear from every other team, and doesn't really make it sound like there's a lot of action on either side to get something worked out here. Is that how you read those comments, or is this something that it all goes away as soon as it's time to talk deals and the Cardinals will have just as good of a chance as anybody else?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what a lot of this depends on what guys want. And, you know, you still, how to put this, you know, sometimes teams want direct messages from from players too. Like, like Jason Hayward's an example, right? Jason Hayward, when he was with the Cardinals, didn't want the distraction of extension talks. And so the Cardinals, out of respect for him, kept their distance, right? Then he signs and he talks about how he didn't feel while he was with the Cardinals, you know, that they were really eager to have him back. And it's like, well, wait a minute. No, they, you know, which one did you want? Right. And now did the Cardinals misread it? Sure. I mean, it's like gathering intelligence. You have to get a feel for a guy's personality to know how much to push, you know, like, think back to when they signed Scott Rolen. That was a time when they really had a feel for, all right, well, this is a guy who's going to want security, who's going to want these things, and now's the time to have it. Then you look fast forward a bit to Matt Holliday, and this was a guy that they had to sell on, but they understood that they had to go into the marketplace, you know, to sign, and that if they just got him in the door, that they would win him over with the situation. Now, that hasn't happened here recently, but you do have to have a read on the player. And if Lance is saying things like this, then, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have a conversation. You know, I know that Lance and the front office had a talk here in the past, maybe 4 or 5 days. Was it about his contract? No. I mean, was it substantive work towards his contract? No. Was it about his situation? Yes. So I think you're just seeing a little bit of how the sausage is made, and definitely how two sides view what they want to do as far as positioning themselves. Lance Lynn has a conduit by talking to the media where he can set it up like, hey, look, the team's not doing anything. And then when he bolts, he sets it up well to say, well, the team never did anything. It wasn't that I didn't want to leave, you know, that I didn't want to stay in St. Louis. It's just that the team didn't do anything. That puts the team in a bad spot, but the Cardinals really haven't been a team that care about that PR. They have been a team who care about leverage, and they want to make sure when they go in, if they are interested in Lance Lynn, and, you know, increasingly it seems like he'd be a good fit for them, that they're not bargaining from a weakness. They don't want what Lance Lynn has said all year, or, you know, what the perception is of how many innings they have to cover next year, to be a reason why they have to add $10 million to an offer for Lance Lynn. They want to create bargaining strength. And if that is a position of apathy, then they'll take the PR hit to do it.
Yeah, well, you've seen the players kind of put them on a deadline before. That's how Yadier Molina got his deal. He made it very clear what he wanted and when he wanted it, and the Cardinals had to jump, and he said how high, and they got it done on Yadier's timeline. And he was I would describe him as bristly about the negotiations until they got what he wanted, then he was happy again. And that's kind of how it works. I don't know if Lynn has as much leverage, but he certainly has more now that Mike Leake is gone, and now that Michael Walker is struggling, and Adam Wainwright's on the DL.
From free agents, you know, like the stuff that he said. I mean, it definitely had Lance a Lance coating on it. You know, I mean, it definitely was delivered by Lance.
Right.
But in theme, it wasn't anything different than Matt Holliday said. It wasn't anything
right.
different than Jason Hayward
no,
said.
You're
it
right.
wasn't anything different than Lance, than Kyle Loesch said.
Yeah. What do you make of the idea of giving Lance a new contract for the Cardinals? Now, the reason they moved Leake is because they have all this young, talented pitching that they want to create an avenue for, but they also, at some point, are going to want to bank on someone who's established and has those qualities. I mean, for as different as they are, the appeal of Leake and Lynn is somewhat similar in that they're going to take the ball every fifth day and they can give
right.
you 200 innings. Now, Lance is certainly doing that better than Leake was this year, but he's fine from after the Tommy John. He could be even better next year after the Tommy John if he gains distance from it. Is he a body type? Is he a kind of pitcher that you think holds up if they give him some sort of a longer-term deal?
Yeah.
Even though with the fastball and the lack of off-speed stuff, you think that fastball will maintain its velocity, that he's going to be... I mean, that was kind of like a similar conversation was had with Lackey, right?
Well, I guess so, but different kind of pitchers, though. Bartolo Colon's doing okay, right?
Well, a little heavy.
Not lately.
He's also way older than Lance.
But he's had a pretty long,
yeah, you're
good
right.
career slinging fastballs with movement on it and just being going after guys. I mean, Lance has a delivery that you go, oh, well, that's repeatable. Oh, well, he could do that for a while. Oh, well, there's not much to that. And, the fastball is pop on it. He can do it at different speeds. He can go 91, 92 in the first inning and crank it up, later in the inning. I think there's a predictability about the way Lance goes about things, and there's a durability about what he has found as this equilibrium of weight for him I think would be encouraging for any team that signs him.
I would like to argue that Lance also has a bit of a quality that might be good for this clubhouse. I think they missed him
yes.
last year. I think when you have a lot of guys who are similar in many ways, that it's okay and good to have a guy who trends different in order for him to be kind of the usher to other guys who are in that camp. You don't want to have every single clubhouse full of like-minded guys, because if you have somebody different, they feel like they're alone. There's no reason that Lance hasn't been and couldn't continue to be kind of the shepherd for the black sheep.
That's a good way to put it. He also has been very helpful with some of the young players. Alex Reyes has talked a lot about how Lance Lynn has been very inclusive with him and has helped him a lot. I think that the rusty nail theory works. I think it's good to have, it might even be good to have a chaos agent. The Cardinals might even benefit from having a position player like that, Tommy Pham, who, calls it like he sees it or isn't afraid to call on teammates and say, hey, look, this ain't right. It's one of the things where they were looking to trade for Adam Eaton. Adam Eaton has that kind of sandpaper, rub people the wrong way, sometimes in the clubhouse reputation. And when that was brought up to me, I kind of shrugged and said, so they could use that.
Yeah, it's interesting. This Giants team is bad, very bad. They have more losses now than I think they've had since 2013, and it's not even September yet.
It's an odd number year, Ben. Fred.
Well, they're worse than they usually are in odd number years. They're terrible, and the Padres are no better. If they've got to probably, they got to win both of these series and probably sweep them if they even stand any chance of being. I mean, they look like the season may very well have died in Milwaukee. I'm realizing
they may have.
But if they're gonna get another last breath here before the death rattle, it's got to be sweeping or at least significantly winning these series, right?
Yeah, yeah, yes. And today is the final day of August, and that means the Cardinals are positioned. They could do more moves today. They've told me, all right. I've heard a few times that they expect significant amount of transactions, toward the end of the month or as September arrives. And you already see some of that, right? Leak out, they'll have some kind of move today. Then Flaherty starting, Sandy Alcantara is being prepped for a promotion. So he's got to be added to the 40-man roster. You got some other guys who they will consider adding to the 40-man roster. They are in a spot where, I mean, they can throw numbers at this, but it wouldn't be all that surprising if you see a team starting to really reshape itself. And I'm not sure it'd be reshaping itself for a run at the division title, just reshaping itself.
Yeah, I agree. If they catch fire, then great. But this is more about the future, it seems like now. Derek, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the left coast there, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right, sounds good, Mr. Frederickson.
All right, see you guys.
All right, Goldie.
Hey, Mr. Frederickson.